speak on the topic facing our life record, subcaption, in front of the judgment bar of God. Pleasant morning to one and all. And a blessed and happy Sabbath. This morning, as we read our scripture reading, which was taken from the 7th chapter of Daniel. Let's turn to our Bibles, the 7th chapter of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10 states, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair on his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. It said, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And it says in the last part, the judgment was set, and the books were opened. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning, Lord, for the opportunity once again, Lord, that we can come, Lord, and hear a word from you. Father, rid me of self now if I speak on behalf of your people. I ask, Lord, that you bless us today, Lord, and may this message be one that is fitting to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, Daniel was given a vision, a dream, about the judgment seat of God. Thus was presented to the prophet's vision, the great and solemn day when the characters and the lives of men should pass in review before God, who is a judge of all the earth, and to every man should be rendered according to their works. Further down in chapter 7, the same chapter of 7, verse 13 and 14, it talks about when the Ancients of Days, and the Ancients of Days is a title given to God the Father. And here we see that Jesus, when he moved to the holy place, went to the Ancient of Days, which is his Father. The coming of Christ here described is not his second coming, when he went to the most holy place, that when he came. The coming of Christ, here described, is not his second coming to the earth, but he comes to the Ancient of Days, which is his Father in heaven. He came to receive dominion, or to receive a government, and to receive glory, a kingdom, which will be given to him at the close of his work as our mediator. Attended by heavenly angels, our great high priest enters the Holy of Holies, and there appears in the presence of his Father God to engage in the last acts of his administration in behalf of man, to perform the work of what we call the investigative judgment, and to make an atonement for all who are shown to be fit for his benefits. But only those who come before God with confession and true repentance, and whose sins through the blood of Jesus would be forgiven of their sins. In this great day of atonement, this final day of atonement, and in investigative judgment, the only cases considered there are the professed people, before the prophets, are the professed people of God. In 1 Peter 4, verse 17, it states, judgment must begin first at the house of God. And if it first begins at the house of God, what shall be the end of those who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ? The books of the record in heaven, in which the names and the deeds of men are registered, they are to be determined the decisions of the judgment. The prophet Daniel says, the judgment was set and the books were opened. And John the Revelator adds to it by saying, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things, which were written in the books. The book of life of God. Jesus bade his disciples, saying, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And this is stated in Luke 10, verse 20. Paul adds to that by saying, whose names are in the book of life, which is stated in Philippians 4, verse 3. And Daniel, looking down the time, in a time of trouble, such as never was, and declares that the people of God shall be delivered. Daniel 12, verse 1. And Revelation 21, verse 27 says that only shall enter the city of God whose names are written in the book of life. Another book, which is called a book of remembrance, is written before God, which are recorded the good deeds of them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Our words of faith and our acts have been registered in heaven. In the book of God's remembrance, every deed of righteousness is immortalized to be made famous for all time. Or every temptation we resisted, every evil we overcame, every work of tender pity expressed, every act of sacrifice, every suffering and sorrow endured for Christ's sake, all these will be chronicled and recorded in the book of heaven. And this is stated in Psalms 56, which said, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle. And the last verse ended the question, are they not in thy book? There is also a record kept for the sins of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. For every idle word we speak, we shall give an account in the day of judgment. Every man's work passes in review before God, and it is registered for faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Each name that is recorded in the books of heaven are entered with exactness. For every wrong word, every selfish act, every unfulfilled duty, and every secret sin, all the heaven-sent warnings and neglected and wasted moments, and all our unimproved opportunities, all of these, my friends, are chronicled and recorded by an angel. The book of God, the law of God, is the standard by which the characters and the lives of men will be tested in the judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 states, we are to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. James chapter 2, verse 12 says, so speak ye, so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. When the books of records are open in the judgment, the lives of all who have believed on Jesus will come in review before God. It will begin with those who first lived upon the earth. Jesus presents the cases of each generation from Adam and finishes with us today who are alive. Every name will be mentioned. Every case will be closely investigated. Some names will be accepted, while on the other hand, some names will be rejected. If any of us have sins remaining upon the books of heaven, which is unrepented and unforgiven, our names will be blotted out of the book of life, and the record of our good deeds will be erased from God's book of remembrance. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, verse 33. Exodus chapter 32, verse 33 states, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And we turn over to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24. Ezekiel 18, verse 24. What does it say? So we are seeing there that if sin be found in us in the judgment, we cannot and will not receive our reward, which is eternal life. All who have truly repented of sin and by faith have claimed the blood of Jesus as their atoning sacrifice, they have pardoned for sin. They have become partakers of righteousness of Christ, and their characters are formed to be in harmony with the law of God. Their sins will be blotted out, and they will be worthy of eternal life. Revelation 3 verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Our divine intercessor presents the plea. All who have overcome through faith in his blood be forgiven the sins, that they may be restored to their Eden home and be crowned as joint heirs with Jesus. But Satan, in his efforts to deceive and to tempt the human race, thought it best to frustrate the divine plan of God. While Jesus is pleading on the behalf of his subjects of grace, Satan, on the other hand, accuses them before God as sinners. The great deceiver's intention is not to lead, his intention is to lead God's people to be skeptics and to cause us to lose our confidence in God and to separate us from his love, and in turn break his law. Satan, he points out the record of sin in our lives, the defects of our character, and our unlikeness to Christ. Jesus does not excuse our sins, though. But he shows sorrows for us for having sinned and claiming for us forgiveness. He lifts his wounded hands before the Father and the holy angels, saying, "I know them. I know them by name. I have graven them in the palms of my hand." Then to our accuser, he says, "The Lord rebuke this Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem." Zechariah 3, verse 2. He says, "Isn't this a brand that is plucked out of the fire? Christ will clothe his faithful children with his own righteousness, that he may present us to the Father as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any blemish or any such thing. Our names will be enrolled in the book of life." And that only if we remain faithful, without spots, blemish, or sin. But brethren, Christ will come and he will bring his reward. "And to every man shall be rewarded as his work shall be." In the sanctuary service of old, the high priest, having made the atonement for Israel, the priest came forth and he blessed the congregation. So too, Christ at the close of his work as our mediator will appear without sin unto salvation to bless his waiting people with eternal life. As the priest in the old, in removing the sins from the sanctuary, he confessed them upon the head of a scapegoat, so too Christ will place all the sins upon Satan, who is the originator and instigator of sin, the scapegoat bearing the sins of Israel, was sent away in the desert. So too Satan will have his fatal end, bearing the sins, the guilt of the sins which he has cursed God's people to commit. He will be for 1,000 years confined to this earth, which by then in that state will be desolate, without inhabitants, and he will be last suffer the full penalty of sin, which his end will be in the fires of hell, where he will be end up with all the wicked. And that will be the final eradication of sin and evil. Sin, though, that have not been repented and forsaken will not be pardoned and blotted out of the record, but it will stand to be witness against us in the day of God. We may have committed evil deeds in the light of day or in the dark of night, but they are openly done before God. Angels of God witness each sin and have registered them in our records. Sin may be God, may be concealed, it may be denied, it may be covered up from our fathers, from our parents, from our husbands, from our wives, our children, our associates. But God sees everything. For sure we cannot conceal our sins from God, though they may be forgotten by us. They will be there in the end to condemn us. And they will be a testimony against us, or to bring justification or condemn us. Have we improved the powers entrusted to us in hand and heart and brain to the glory of God and to the blessing of the world? Have we used our time, our pen, our efforts, our voice, our money, our influences? What have we done for Christ in the person of the poor and afflicted? Haven't God made us depositaries of his holy word? What have we done with the light given to us that will make men wise unto salvation? But Satan invents unnumbered schemes to occupy our minds, that they may not dwell upon the very work which we ought to be best acquainted with. The arch deceiver hates the great truths that bring to review the atoning sacrifice. An all-powerful mediator, he knows that with him everything depends on his diverting our minds from Jesus and his truth. The precious time we have left, instead of being given to pleasure, to display the gain of seeking, we should be devoted our time and our earnest prayer in studying of the word of God. All of us need knowledge for ourselves. Every individual has a soul to be saved, or a soul to lose. Each of us has a case pending in the judgment bar of God. All who have received the light upon these truths or teachings, they are to be testimony of the great truths which God has committed to us. It concerns every soul living upon earth. It opens the review of salvation and brings us down to the very close of time and revealing the issue of the contest between righteousness and sin. The intercession of Christ in our behalf is held in the sanctuary above. It's very important. It is essential to the plan of salvation, as was his death on the cross. By his death, he began the work of redemption from man. When he ascended back to heaven and moved to the most holy place where he began his last and second phase of our mediation, the salvation of man is accomplished at an infinite cost of heaven. Jesus has opened the way to the Father's throne, and through his mediation, the sincere desire of all who come to him in faith may be presented to God. As we now live in this great day of atonement, while the high priest was making the atonement for Israel, they were all required to afflict their souls by repentance of sin for the preparation of the individual work that would take place in them. We are not saved in groups. Everyone must be tested in that day and must be found without spot or wrinkle. As the books of records are opened in the judgment, the lives of all who have believed on Jesus will come in review before him. All who have truly repented of sin and by faith accepted Jesus' blood as our atoning sacrifice will be counted worthy of eternal life. In closing, I say, let us not be weighed in the balances of life and be found wanting, but let us be found with our sins all washed away. Our Father God, we are thankful this moment, Lord, that we have heard thy words once more, Father, as quick and as sharp and as powerful as your word, Lord, piercing the heart asunder of men. We ask, Lord, that this word may sink deep into our lives, bring about transformation, reformation. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, for your word today. And may we bless others on the outside with this word as well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.